transcribed. Inheritance. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the American Legion, presents a story out of that great composite of visions, struggles, and victories of the American past. Our Inheritance. Yes, we Americans are heirs to a vast fortune. A fortune compounded of many things. Of the unerring accuracy of backwoods riflemen. The courage of free men against the armies of King George. And the voice of a great bell proclaiming liberty. It is the Pony Express feeding news across the nation. And mighty railroads linking 48 states ever closer. Let us now go back to a significant period in America's history, one which we all share in our inheritance. Tonight we bring you the story of a soldier. It is the story of a particular soldier, but it is also a tribute to every soldier who has worn or is still wearing the uniform of the United States Army. For this is a story of courage, patriotism, and a soldier's pride in his comrades at arms. It is also the story of a rare inheritance, devotion to duty.
During the recent conflict in Korea, I was attached to the medical corps. Taking care of as many of the wounded as we did, I got to know some of the fellas pretty well. Especially Captain Raymond Harvey, one of the finest infantry officers I ever met. In Korea, I learned about his military career firsthand. Where does his story begin? Where most stories do. With his birth and education.
I was born in Pennsylvania. We only lived there 6 months. My dad was a contractor, traveled all over the country. We went along with him. All told, I've lived in 38 of the states. Well, as for my education, I got through high school. Matter of fact, I attended high school in 3 or 4 states, graduated in Sulphur, Oklahoma, and then I hit out on my own to see the country and worked at any job I could get. Got to learn a lot about people. Found out you have to be honest with them if you want them to trust you. Later, I also discovered that a top-notch military outfit depends on pretty much the same thing.
In 1939, Raymond Harvey entered the Army and joined Company B of the 38th Infantry stationed at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. After 4 months as company clerk, he was made field corporal and given a squad to train. That's when he got his first chance to find out what he'd learned about initiative and cooperation.
Hup, hoop, keep, ha, hup, hoop, keep, ha. Three, ha. Right flank, ha. Ha. All right, Burns, figure it out, figure it out. Paw, hoop, kick, paw, better. Left flank, paw, hoop, kick, paw, right flank, paw, rear, paw, paw, hoop, paw, squat, halt. At ease, rest. Smoke if you have 'em.
Hey, Harvey.
Yeah?
How about taking it easy for a while? You're only drilling the squad, you know, not a whole company.
Yeah, I know. All right, someday I'm going to have my own company.
That's swell. But how about letting up now?
Sorry, chum.
Oh, have a heart. You've had us left-facing and right-facing for half an hour.
Now, look, I know I'm only a corporal. I haven't been in the Army any longer than the rest of you guys, but the lieutenant told me to take over the squad for close-order drill. That's what I'm doing.
Well, sure,
but
you...
We're going to show him we're good. Best squad in the platoon and the whole outfit.
Aren't you kind of overdoing it?
No. Look, I joined the Army for just one reason, to be a soldier, a good soldier. It's like my dad used to tell me, if you have a job to do and you do what you're supposed to do, you're good. You're not great, but you're good. He said there's no such thing as being great in anything if you're doing your job. Okay, right now our job is learn close-order drill. Like I told you, by the time we finish, we're going to have the best squad in the camp. As soon as the fellas finish the smokes, we'll try it again, huh?
When Harvey got through drilling those guys, they were the best in the outfit, just like he said they'd be. Yes, it was during his rookie days at Fort Sill that Ray Harvey realized what he wanted most out of the Army, to build a fighting unit second to none. In the summer of 1940, he was transferred to Fort Houston, Texas, where he was assigned as clerk in the 2nd Division Commander's office. In December 41, when he made sergeant, he decided he needed a change, so he went to see the sergeant major.
Sorry, Harvey, the colonel's busy right now.
Oh.
What do you want to talk to him about?
I want him put in for transfer.
Transfer? What's wrong running a typewriter?
Nothing, but is there anything in the Army regulations says I have to do it?
You got other ideas?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like being transferred to an infantry outfit that's getting ready for action.
What, are you bucking for gold bars, Harvey?
Why not? No reason why I have to stay an enlisted man, is there?
No.
Well, okay, that's why I want to see the colonel.
You're wasting your time. Look, you're a good clerk. You know military correspondence.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, I don't think the colonel will let you go.
Well, no harm in asking, is there?
No.
Then when can I see him?
Look, Harvey, this isn't a doctor's office. I can't make an appointment. Right now he's busy, like I told you. I don't know when you can see him.
Well, you don't have to get sore. If he's busy, I'll come back later.
Look, if every guy who wanted to transfer out of the outfit came trooping in here asking to see the colonel, we'd never get any work done.
Sergeant?
Yes, sir, Colonel?
What's going on out here?
Well, it's Sergeant Harvey, sir. He says he has to talk to you.
Oh?
Wants to join the Siberian Army and make general.
Nothing like that, sir.
All right, Harvey. What's your trouble?
I'd like to talk to you about transfer, sir.
Transfer?
Yes, sir. I joined the Army to be a combat soldier. Oh, I know every job in the Army is important, but, well, I guess I just have to be out in the field.
Go on.
When I was at Fort Sill, I took over a squad of men. We're the best squad in the whole area. Even the old man's... Oh, well, excuse me, sir, but even our commanding officer said so.
I've noticed you get along with the men here, too, Harvey.
Yes, sir.
I've also looked up your record. Quite an impressive one for someone who's been in the service for as short a time as you have.
Thank you, sir.
You started a base training program at Fort Sill, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Harvey, if I... could get your transfer. Where would you want to go?
An infantry outfit, sir. Fighting unit. I'd even take a bus to private.
I don't think that would be necessary. How would you like a recommendation for officer's candidate school?
Very much, sir.
Good. I like your spirit. I think you have the makings of a good officer. Sergeant?
Yes, sir, Colonel?
Come into my office. I'm going to send a TWX to Army in Washington, recommending Harvey for OCS.
It wasn't long before Harvey got an OK for OCS. In June 1942, he was assigned to the Adjutant School in Washington. But he applied for relief and transferred to an infantry outfit, which turned out to be Company A of the 315th Infantry, stationed at Camp Pickett, Virginia. The next 2 years were important years for him. Basic training, maneuvers in Tennessee, the desert, winter maneuvers in Kansas, and finally to Camp Miles Standish in Boston. Then on June 14, 1944, D-Day plus 8, the 315th landed at Normandy, France, and made their first contact with the enemy at Coutances on the Cherbourg Peninsula. Two months later came a big day in the life of Ray Harvey. He was given his captain's bars and made commanding officer of his company. He told me about it in Korea.
CO of my own company. After 5 years, I'd made it. And what a company. My men chalked up quite a record for themselves in the ETO. They were among the first troops of the 4th and 9th Divisions to start the push out of the Cherbourg Peninsula. First to enter the town of Le Mans, first American outfit to cross the Seine. And when the Allied troops pulled up outside the town of Ambermenil, Company A more than justified my faith and pride in them. Our immediate job was to make the hill commanding the town and secure it, but since Ambermenil was located on a flat piece of land with little cover or concealment, we had a tough deal ahead of us. And the men knew it.
Hank?
Yeah, Leo?
What do you think?
About what?
About the hill. Think we can take it?
Oh, I know. I just work here.
There ain't as much as a corn stalk to hide behind.
Yeah, so what are you gonna do? Get ulcers over it?
No.
Oh, relax, will you? Harvey'll tell us what to do.
I sure hope so.
Look, he didn't let us down at Neuf Chateau, did he?
No.
Oh, thanks to him, we bagged 600 prisoners there. And that forest outside Looneyville? Boy, how he ever got us through all that mud and artillery fire, I'll never know. But he got us through.
Okay, okay.
Anybody think you're supposed to take the hill all by yourself the way you're worried?
I said okay.
Sergeant Carey.
Yes, Captain Harvey.
Get your men together.
We moving out?
Yep.
What's the plan?
There's only one way to take that hill.
Yes, sir.
Assault the enemy line at double time.
Double time, Captain?
That's right. Just start running and keep going. Some of us are going to get hurt, but the rest of us will be able to reach the hill.
Yes, sir.
You coming with us, Captain Harvey?
I ever asked you men to do something I wouldn't do?
No, sir.
Well, taking the hill's no different. This is my job as well as yours.
You think we can take it, Cap?
Corporal Duran, haven't I always said I have the best company in the whole U.S. Army?
Yes, sir. I guess you have.
Well, my men will never let me down. I know they won't now. Alert your men, Sergeant Carey. We start running at 0900.
Five minutes after Captain Harvey and his men left their position, they reached the hill, and for 3 days they held it while enemy troops tried to blast them off. On the fourth day, Ambermenil was in Allied hands. For this encounter, Captain Harvey and Company A were awarded the Presidential Unit Citation, an unusual honor for a small unit.
Yes, sir. At Ambermenil, my men proved that spirit is the secret of a crack infantry outfit. And they continue to prove it. Baccarat, Severn Pass, Hagano, Lauterbach during the Battle of the Bulge. Watching those boys in action and seeing how much faith they had in my judgment, well, I knew I could never let them down.
When the war ended in Europe, Ray Harvey was on occupation duty in Czechoslovakia and wondering where he would go from there. The answer came from his commanding officer.
Sit down, Captain Harvey.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
So the war is finally over.
Yes, sir.
Cigarette?
No, thank you, but we'll have a cigar.
Help yourself.
Thanks, sir. All right?
Uh-huh. Thanks. Harvey, I called you in because I had an idea. If you don't go for it, well, I want you to feel free to turn it down.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, do you have any plans for yourself now that the war's over?
Well, yes, Colonel. As a matter of fact, I have.
Going to stay in the Army, no doubt.
Well, Colonel, I...
Even so, how would you like to go to Columbia University?
Me? Why?
To study geopolitics. Find out how the geography of a country affects its existence.
But, Colonel,
you've got a good head on your shoulders. Intelligent. Think I can swing it if you're at all interested.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your thinking of me, Colonel, but,
Yes?
Colonel, how many times have you heard somebody say he's only in the Army because he's too lazy or too scared to get a civilian job?
Well, I suppose there are people who make cracks like that.
Oh, there are, sir. There are plenty of them.
I wouldn't let them bother me if I were you, Harvey.
I'm not, sir. This is my first chance since I joined the Army to make a living as a civilian.
You're quitting the Army?
Yes, sir. I want to prove to myself that I'm neither too lazy or scared to be a success as a civilian.
In October 1945, Captain Harvey received his discharge and went to work for a recording company in California. It was a brand new type of work for him. But within a year, he definitely proved to himself what he had left the Army to prove. That he could be a success as a civilian. And having proved it, he returned to active duty. And in November 1949, he was assigned to Company B of the 38th Infantry. Then the fighting broke out in Korea. In September 1950, Ray Harvey was made Assistant Battalion CO for the 3rd Battalion of the 17th Infantry and sailed for Busan. By the end of the year, he had his own company again. This time, it was Company C of the 17th Infantry.
As the fighting progressed in Korea, I knew I had the same kind of fighting men I had before. Like the big attack up near Wanju when my men were forced to fight in a hand-to-hand bayonet assault, only good soldiers could have survived that encounter. And my men were good. I told them they were, too. Don't think they didn't appreciate being praised for a job well done. I'll never forget the way in which they showed their appreciation.
All right, you guys. Come on, get the lead out. This ain't no Boy Scout picnic. We got work to do.
Hey, don't push.
Hey, Willis.
Yes, Sergeant?
What's wrong with you?
Well, nothing's wrong, excepting my feet hurt me.
Yeah? Don't they wear shoes where you come from?
Well, of course they do, Sergeant, but this ground ain't exactly...
Oh, watch where you're going, you clumsy ox. You want to drop that box?
Trip.
Yeah. Well, let me carry the box.
Okay, but I'm real sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Give you a soft job like carrying one measly box, you almost louse it up. All right, come on, you guys. Move a little faster, will you?
Sergeant...
Yeah.
You think we're doing the right thing?
What do you mean?
Maybe Captain Harvey won't like us coming up the forward area like this here.
Look, will you relax? I'm taking full responsibility for us coming.
Well, I don't know now. You...
What's the matter? You getting cold feet?
Well, of course I'm not.
All right, then stop worrying. For sake, Captain Harvey's done okay by us, guys. The least he can do is walk a measly 6 miles without complaining. And when we get there, don't forget what you're supposed to do.
No, I won't. But if I should, will you give me a hand?
Yeah. I'll give you a hand. All right. Now, pipe down. We're here. Come on, you guys. Come on. All right. Now, remember. Stay together.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Here we go now. Captain Harvey.
Well, Sergeant, what are you and the men doing up here?
Captain, okay, Willis, what are you waiting for? Go ahead.
Well, Captain Harvey, Captain Harvey, today is the 1st of March, and we thought maybe we better do something about it, so here we are.
So I see. Any special reason for it?
Well, sure is. Ain't every day you have a birthday, so we thought we'd come up here and pay our respects. So.
And we brought you this present.
This... Box for me?
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, open it.
Well, gee, thank you, man. This is unexpected, I assure you. I didn't think I... It's a cake.
Made special for you, Captain.
Well, this is really something.
Mess Sergeant said to tell you he couldn't get what he needed for the frosting, so he made out of jelly.
Yes, I see.
The happy birthday is made out of lifesavers.
Well, gentlemen, I really don't know what to say. This is probably the handsomest cake I've ever seen. Thanks a lot.
We're glad you like it, Captain.
Okay, you guys, all together now. Ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
A cake trimmed with jelly frosting and happy birthday in lifesavers. Would never win a cooking prize, but it was a gift which made Ray Harvey realize how closely camaraderie had drawn him and his men. It was a good feeling, and it made him even prouder of them. For this was their way of showing their confidence in him. It was proven even stronger a week later. On the 9th of March, while his unit was attacking a hill near the village of Tanidong, the leading platoon was pinned down by camouflaged enemy machine gun emplacements.
like we're in kind of a tough spot, Captain.
I'm afraid we are.
Somebody better think of a way to get us out of here before there ain't any of us left to get out.
We'll get out, all right.
You got a plan, Captain?
No, no. I think of something.
Okay, but it better work. I say something funny?
No, no, it's what you said.
All I said was your plan better work.
Yeah, I know. Just remembered when somebody else said the same thing to me. Funny how just a couple of words will bring back something you've forgotten.
Huh? What do you mean?
Oh, now that I remember, it's odd how much it applies to the situation we're in right now.
What those stuff?
Well, it happened in my sophomore year in high school during one of our most important football games.
Yeah.
I remember the score was 14-7 at the end of the first half. No, it was 13-7, their favor. I wanted to try passing the ball in the second half, but the coach said he wanted us to carry it the way we'd been doing.
Well, but you want to change tactics, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
He let you?
Yeah. First, he said something I've never forgotten.
What's that?
Well, when I pointed out that the other team was beating us, the coach said, "You forget, Ray, that they're strictly a first-half team. They throw everything they have at us when the game starts, pull all their tricks, try all their strategy. If they don't run up a big lead in the first half, they begin to fade."
Hey, that's just like these commies.
Yeah, exactly. "Remember, Ray," he said, "we're a strong ground team. A running attack has always been our strongest offense."
Hey, that coach sure knew what he was talking about.
Strong ground team, running attack, our strongest offense.
What?
Sergeant. Sergeant, looks like I'm going to do what the coach said.
What?
I'm going to run with the ball.
I don't get
If I can get out there and knock off one of those commie machine gun nests, we'll be able to get out of here.
No, don't do that, Cap. Maybe we'll be able to shoot it
out. That's what they want us to do, so we'll fool them and change our tactics.
Oh, look, you can't make it alone.
I won't do anything. I got everything. Sergeant, tell them to come.
Now, look, Captain.
Yeah, go.
Captain! Don't do it! Crazy. Look, you guys keep these commies busy. The captain's out there. I'm going to get a touchdown.
Captain Raymond Harvey moved slowly through a hail of enemy fire and exploding grenades. When he spotted the first enemy machine gun nest, he wiped out its crew with carbine fire. A second emplacement was put out of commission by a well-aimed grenade. Then he moved the first platoon forward until it was stopped by a curtain of automatic gunfire. But disregarding it, he charged and neutralized a third emplacement. Then he continued to lead his men in the assault.
Yes, sir.
And for the men on the left flank.
Yes, sir. All right, spread out. Okay, Captain. Let's go.
Cap! He's been hit. Lousy little... You guys, give me a hand, will you? The captain's been hit.
Hey, take this. Get you out of here, those dirty...
No, Sergeant. Give me here.
Captain,
look.
You're getting out.
Sergeant, no.
Don't worry. We'll finish the job for you. Medic!
Hi, Captain. It's okay. You're at the aid station.
What?
No. Better not talk. No. You got a bad throat wound.
Yeah.
Like to see some visitors?
Who?
All right, you men. Come on in. Remember, you can only stay a few minutes.
You gonna be okay there?
In time, yes.
Now, you hear that, you guys? Captain Harvey's gonna be all right.
Yeah, fine. Sergeant?
How are you, Captain?
Man... Okay.
Yeah, sure. Thanks to you, this touchdown conversion and the game.
Captain Harvey did pull out of it all right. And while he was waiting for a ship to take him back to the States, he told me all about himself. When I asked him how come he joined the Army in the first place, he said...
Why? Where else can you find 200 men who'll do anything in the world for you? Like slipping back over 40 miles of rough Korean terrain to see how badly you've been wounded. And when a 185-pound sergeant breaks down and
cries like a baby when you're hit. Well, maybe you get the idea.
You think you'll go back to the infantry when you're on your feet again?
No, I'm going back.
He went back, all right. And Major Harvey is still in the Army. And what has he added to our inheritance? His story is the story of all officers who take pride in their outfit and have the respect of their men in return. That's the inheritance given to us by Major Raymond Harvey, holder of the Bronze Star with one oak leaf cluster, the Silver Star with two oak leaf clusters, the Purple Heart with two oak leaf clusters, the Combat Infantry Badge, the Distinguished Service Cross. Oh, yes, the Congressional Medal of Honor.
You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. We are privileged this evening to hear from the past National Commander of the American Legion Department of New Hampshire, Mr. James F. O'Neill.
The American Legion, since its founding in 1919, has been in the vanguard of the fight against all subversives who would dissipate and destroy the freedoms which are America's inheritance. To the American Legion, the story of communism is an old one. We have been through virtually everything that is happening today. And the tricks being used by the communists and their stooges in 1954 are not much different from the tricks they were using 35 years ago. For it was just 35 years ago that the Legion met communism head on in this country. The year was 1919, and while the history of that year seems to have been forgotten, communism even then was spreading in the world. Delirious with their quick victory in Russia, the Bolsheviks proclaimed world revolution and started moving westward. Austria was permeated, and Hungary was taken over. The Balkans, Germany, and Italy tottered on the brink. Red armies battered at the gates of Warsaw, where Marshal Foch's chief of staff, Weigand, saved Poland from annihilation. Here in the United States, agents of the Red Russian regime appeared mysteriously, and radical groups and individual agitators fell in with these pioneer fifth columnists. It was at this juncture that the American Legion spoke out, as later on it was to warn America of fascism and Nazism. At its first national convention, held in Minneapolis on November 11, 1919, the American Legion's first resolution was a strong denunciation of Bolshevism, coupled with a means of fighting it positively through the creation of a National Americanism Commission. Time has long since vindicated the American Legion's position, and we take pride in the enemies we have made and continue to make in this battle. For those people are now, at long last, being exposed as traitors to the United States and to our American inheritance.
Thank you, Mr. James F. O'Neill. Next week, Inheritance will take you on another journey through the pages of history to a time when Americans dreaming of the future forged that which we possess today. Today's story, The Story of a Soldier, was written by Milt Kahn and featured Whitfield Connor as Captain Raymond Harvey. Included in the cast in order of their appearance were Herb Ellis, Sam Richards, Jack Crucian, Kurt Martell, Charles Smith, Jerry Hausner, Leroy Leonard, Tony Barrett, and Joe Cranston. The original music was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Inheritance is produced and directed for the National Broadcasting Company and the American Legion by Albert McCleary. This is John Wall speaking. Tonight, hear Meet the Press on the NBC Radio Network.